So we're focused a lot on accountability, and this slide displays results of compliance monitoring. First slide is for the 08-09 year. You'll see we're tracking across the number of units in all of the programs, expirations, which came just by virtue of the fact that those are 10-year abatements and some fall off, the terminations that are a result of compliance monitoring, resulting in returned revenue for the 08-09 year of about $438,000. We're going forward then to the 9-10 year. The number of units, increased number of expirations, program units rolling off the program, and 68 terminations. And you actually heard the report on those terminations in September of this year and approved those. That results in year-on-year about $2 million of revenue returned to the tax rolls from those compliance and monitoring activities. We wanted to focus on the affordability outcomes. So while not all programs were designed primarily to achieve affordability, this chart displays that 84% of the total rental units in the program do serve households earning less than 60% of median family income. And some of the programs make it possible to serve much lower incomes, like the Admiral that you saw on an earlier slide. So we're guided in our work on the limited tax abatement programs by recommendations from the council and the county board in response to the 2008 audit of the programs. We have displayed here the five recommendations that came out of that work and call your attention to the fact that we've made good progress. We call status completed or resolved and in process on a number of these. We do submit an annual report to the council. You're hearing the second one. The Portland Development Commission has created and executes for each new TOD or new multi-unit project an extended use agreement that gives us the tool to track compliance on those. And the recommendation was made to review income verification processes to ensure that rent-restricted units were occupied by qualified residents. PDC collects income data annually for all multifamily rent-restricted units and audits those reports and terminates for noncompliance. And you saw the results of some of that. We've got two bodies of work that are in process, and I'm going to go to the last one first. We were directed to review the method for assessing financial need for multifamily condominium developments and recommend a code revision. Staff, both housing staff as well as city attorney, have done that work and feel that we can bring that recommendation to a policy review body that Commissioner Fish will convene in the spring. So on that second-to-last goal, where we were directed to clarify the goals and objectives of the programs, and assign responsibility for oversight, evaluation, and reporting, we feel we're pretty good on the second half of that. We're pretty clear on where responsibility lies, and in fact, the Portland Housing Bureau now has oversight of those. We are setting about work currently and into the spring to clarify the goals and objectives of the program with an orientation towards how do we need to use these tools going forward. Couple of activities there. We have co-commissioned with our partners at the Portland Development Commission and Multnomah County an economic analysis of the programs, looking at where have they been very successful and where do we need to improve them for use in this new economic world as well as our development goals. We'll also be informed by early learning from the Portland Plan and the Portland Housing Bureau's consolidated planning process, which directs our federal funds over the next 5 years. In the spring, Commissioner Fish and Chair Wheeler will convene a policy review committee that will include representation from the Portland school districts. And Commissioner Fritz has agreed to serve with Commissioner Fish on this committee.
Thank you for the invitation.
And we work in an atmosphere where we do have some issues, and Director Van Vliet is going to sort of highlight some of those, and we can fill in.
Thank you for an outstanding job, Kate.
So as you can see, we've made tremendous progress. I'm very proud of Kate and the rest of the team at Portland Housing Bureau for really getting the program and our accountability systems into really fine shape. There are a handful of issues I just want to, at a high level, make you aware of that we're working closely on, and I feel confident that we'll get to resolution, but it's fair for you to understand that, you know, there are still some challenges out there. One set of challenges has to do with some disagreements about how the interpretation of the use of the exemption programs on the commercial space in some of these buildings. So different interpretations. I'm happy to say that we're partnering with the county. We do have a piece of legislation. We've been helped by David Barenberg and the Office of Government Relations to bring forward a piece of legislation that should grandfather in these discrete set of properties. It's 19 properties where there is some confusion, and so we'll grandfather those in, and I think we'll get to resolution. There remain some kind of regulatory and administrative pieces, and I think as we move towards role clarification, again, I feel confident that we've got the right people intending to work through those, and we'll get to resolution, but there's still some outstanding matters there. And then I think just on a broader scale, we're all sort of wondering about the state of the economy and how do we balance competing priorities for stimulus kinds of activities and spurring development in the places where we want it versus, having the tax revenue, property tax revenue, go solely to safety net programs. So those are important and timely conversations. I know you'll follow them closely, as will I. But you can see that it's a complex set of tools. They're important set of tools, but they're very complex. And my hope is that as we get through this economic analysis, that we benefit from the leadership of Commissioner Fish and Chair Wheeler in bringing together a broader group of leaders around, well, what do we want to do with these programs, and how do we want to think about them as a set of tools for housing, but for livability more generally, that we can then take that back and refine as we need to at the administrative level. So I think I'm going to leave it there and be happy to answer any questions folks have about the report or where we're going next with it.
Discussions from council? All right. Is anyone signed up to testify for this matter? Is anyone? Oh, yes.
I have two people, Nathaniel Hartley and Mardine Mao.
Are you in the room? Maybe they signed on the wrong sheet.
Yeah.
All right, anyone in the room wish to testify on 1748? This is a report. I entertain a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, will you please call the vote on 1748?
Leonard?
I appreciate the transparency of how this program is administered. It's really refreshing. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you both for an excellent report, and I commend Commissioner Fish for reorganizing the Housing Bureau over the course of the year. It's becoming very clear why that was a good strategy that he and the mayor decided upon, and the diligence and looking for the right word, because it's such a measured and organized approach to addressing the myriad of problems. And I recently received a letter from somebody saying, why is the council doing nothing about providing housing? And I didn't know where to start in my answer to that. And I think that perhaps part of the answer is that most people in the community perhaps don't know all of the good work that's being done and the millions of dollars that every week on the agenda we hear about different programs providing services for people who need affordable housing. So I commend you for all of your work. This is a particularly important piece because it helps people to be in permanent housing, and that you're being very careful with the taxpayers' money that we're abating where necessary and not where not warranted. So thank you for all your good work. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for inviting me to be on that policy advisory committee. I'm very interested and supportive. Aye.
Fish.
Margaret and Kate, thanks for a great job. And thank you for moving the ball here. We've made a commitment to, as Randy said, to be more transparent, to provide the public with greater accountability, and our goal here is also pretty transparent. We want the public to have confidence in these programs. The data, I think, gives us confidence that these programs are meeting key needs in our community. When you look at the income profile of people living in these units, the data in terms of how we're monitoring and kicking people off who don't who are no longer eligible, I think gives people some confidence that this program is being administered properly. But ultimately, it is a continuing exercise like this of showing our hand, revealing the data to the public that is going to, I think, rebuild trust. And I'm very pleased that this spring we'll be working with Multnomah County on a bigger look at whether these existing programs continue to meet the goals that were set out by the council, and if not, whether there needs to be some modification. I regret that we are forced to go to the legislature to do the fix on the commercial piece. That is not very collaborative, in my judgment, but I'm hoping that with the big look this spring, we can also strengthen the relationship so that the county and the city work together to implement these programs, which, after all, meet the core policy objectives of both bodies. Thanks for your great work and for the team who assisted you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Good job. Thanks, Commissioner Fish. Aye.
Adams.
Superb leadership, Commissioner Fish. Really appreciate it. You dug into this from your first days on council, and it shows excellent management and policy work as well. Thank you, and also to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, your great work as well. We're making progress. It's good to see. Aye. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 1749?
Amend subrecipient contract with Portland Development Commission to add $2,026,456 in Community Development Block Grant Recovery Funding and $4,394,200 in home funding for the development of affordable housing projects funded through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act and the Home Entitlement Grant.
Ms. Van Vliet.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. Again, this is a piece of business that authorizes us to bring the federal stimulus funds into the Bureau, and then we are still operating with a subrecipient grant agreement. So we're still sending the money, if you will, by this via an IGA to PDC to administer for us. But all the decisions are made under one roof about how to invest and what are the priority housing projects. So this takes care of that piece of business and allows us to get the money on the street. There are five projects that had been identified through a joint selection process with folks in my shop and at PDC. Again, it will add about $2 million in federal funds. The five housing projects that were selected for funding will create over 200 new units of affordable housing targeted to very low-income people. And they are located countywide. So a piece I should note is that we are administering the county's portion of this as well, so worked collaboratively with them to identify projects. So we're happy to answer questions if you have any at this stage. But
this is normally an item that would appear on consent, but we wanted, that, in case there were questions, have it on the record.
We're going to vote on it, too.
Okay. Well, I have a question.
Okay.
And that question is, and we should always have $6 million on the regular agenda, because especially when it's coming to us, that's really great. Is this money that was in the budget already, or is this extra money?
It was in the budget. We had anticipated it when the budget was done. So this just allows us to bring it in.
Great. Thank you.
Anyone wish to testify on 1749 emergency ordinance? Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Again, I want to commend Commissioner Fish for the outstanding transparency of the new Bureau. And Margaret, you're doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. And another reason I'm happy that this is on the regular agenda is to comment on the excellent job that you did in outreach, the well-publicized public meetings to discuss the community development block grant allocations, and truly inviting all partners in the community to come in and be part of making decisions. So thank you for that. Aye.
Fish.
Thanks for the great work, as always. And Margaret had an opt-out in her contract, which has now expired. She's officially locked in.
Yay!
So anyway, no, kidding. Great job. Thank you. Aye.
Adams.
Ditto. Aye. 1749 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 1750?
Amend legal description for permanent and temporary easements for the construction of the Fano Pump Station Pressure Line Garden Home Section Replacement Project through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Good morning. Welcome back to the City Council.
Morning.
What are you looking at here?
I'm Brenda Sherwood with BES, and this amendment amends the ordinance we originally passed in August for easement acquisitions for the garden home pressure line. The city needs these for that replacement. The pressure sewer for the panel pump station was originally constructed in 2000 to serve the sewer customers in Southwest Portland. Since then, parts of the pressure system have failed and leaked at three different locations. So the city decided last year to replace the pressure line to ensure reliable operations. In addition, Environmental Services will replace the existing single line with two parallel 30-inch metal pipes to increase the pumping capacity to capture and convey peak sewage flows. And last summer, the city approved an ordinance to exercise the city's eminent domain authority to acquire those required easements. Since then, the project design has been modified to relocate an air valve vault closer to Oleson Road to eliminate the need for city crews to cross private property to access the vault, and there were other design changes that were required based on design. This is an emergency ordinance because the delay in acquiring easements will delay construction.
Thank you. Discussion from council? Anyone wish to testify on 1750 emergency ordinance? Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Thank you. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your good work on this, and thanks to Scott Gibson for your answering questions from my staff. I really appreciate it. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Thanks for your great work. Aye. 1750 is approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance item number 1751?
Amend contract with CH2M Hill for additional work and compensation for the Fano Basin Pump Station Pressure Main Garden Home Section, project number E08293.
You just reintroduce yourself.
Yeah. Brenda Sherwood with BES. This ordinance also relates to the replacement of the Garden Home Section of the Fano Pressure Sewer Line. This ordinance amends an existing contract with CH2M Hill for work for designing the Garden Home Pressure Sewer Replacement. The scope for the original contract was based on an existing design flow of sewage of 24 cubic feet per second. Since then, additional modeling has been completed and determined that the flow has increased to 40 cubic feet per second to capture peak flows, therefore required a modification in the project design. Additional CH2M Hill's design work in this contract amendment includes work on permitting and floodplain issues, additional project meetings, and work on the easement revisions.
Discussion from council.
I'm definitely for increasing the capacity to improve peak flows. Put that on the record.
Well, you're taking controversial positions today, aren't you? Anyone wish to testify on non-emergency ordinance 1751? All right, moves to second reading next week. We stand recessed until 6 p.m. tonight. Oh, before we all leave, sorry. Bicycle plan for 2030 was originally set to be heard by the City Council on January 20th. It's now been moved to February 4th. Any objections? No? Okay, great. I just keep forgetting.
We just